Good afternoon, Outliers. Happy Friday. How's it going? Sebastian's here. Jorn is here. How y'all doing today? I'm in my ADHD moods, where I get my hyper focus on. And I am doing all the data testing. I have some results to share with you. Give me a moment. What I've been... The rabbit hole that I dug myself into. Thanks to Jorn, and I do appreciate this actually, was if I'm exiting at, for example, let's say I get into a trade like this one here, and the heat map value is G15 or greater. This was my preliminary, what I had seen previously. Just anecdotally seen. I didn't have data necessarily to quantify it, but that's what I had seen. G15 or greater, where to get out. And so the biggest moves I had seen earlier came anywhere under G15 and like a G15, that'd be like the exit point. And so my original exit points was two shades darker. Then we got the clarification of what the heat map values were, which saved us all a lot of time. And so then I was like, okay, I can actually quantify this, and I can say rather than two shades darker, I can go 5 points darker. And Jorn's question was, why? Where'd you get that idea from? And I appreciate those kind of questions, Jorn. So I've been in hyper focus mode. By the way, I'm not going to be trading anything today. I mentioned in the Discord that I uploaded a new PowerPoint. And in there, I wanted to go ahead and update this and say, listen, if it closes under the 20 like it did yesterday, I'm going to wait to put on new trades until it's over the 10 EMA again. We're not there. It's really close, but we're not there. And I'm not going to push it, especially on a... That's such an ugly candle. I need to let that like play itself out before I get too excited. So while the market has bounced back, that doesn't mean that I'm bouncing right back into it. So not going to be putting on any trades today. But also a couple things. I added this. I also added Steve Burns' cheat sheet over here. So you can get some perspective of what the different moving averages mean. So I hope that's helpful. Jean-Louis had asked for this, so I got you. Hey, Watch Channel, how you doing? So back to the data. So Mahesh gave me 65,000. Mahesh gave me literally every buy and sell date for every stock that we cover, all the way back from 2020. And it's 65,000. 681 records here. So I've been going through and I broke it down by stock. I said, what's the total average move just on average? 21 points. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So what I did in this section over here was I said, okay, if the starting value of the heat map was this or less, so a maximum of 10, what was the average point move? And then 11, and then 12, and then 13. So saying, okay, going up to here, what were the average point moves on the heat map if a trade were put on, for example, at G13, right? So at G13, what was the average point move? G13 or less. And I found this to be incredibly interesting. So I'm going to highlight this one because this one turned out to be the best. G13. Now, my anecdotal looking at the data evidence was G15. And to be that close based on the data, I thought was actually pretty awesome. So what this says is that the expectancy, and the expectancy is calculated by average win times win rate minus average loss times loss rate. The expectancy peaked at 275. It was the same up from 10, 11, 12, 13. It peaked at that. But the average return peaked a little higher at 188 at 15. So what I did is I gave it a result score. And so I added up the expectancy value plus the average return. And so 13 was the highest. So interesting that this happened to be a 13. So anything up to G13, let it roll. Let it roll. Granted, if there's no other chart related issues, let it roll once it hits up to G13. At G13, that had the highest expectancy combined with highest returns. Oh, that was pretty dang interesting. Now, I have been working on the other end of it, which is if you're getting in at G13 or later, I guess I should say if you're getting in at G14 or later, what point spread is ideal? Because like I said, that was a 5-point spread that I had originally come up with. So basically it needs to stay, the G value needs to be at least 13 and move up X number of points. So that's what I'm in the process right now of doing the math with. So like I say, I'm deep in my ADHD zone over here. Mark, one of our co-founders, dropped some data in the Discord, and you can go back and see he and I were chatting about it. This here. So this is the, let me read this correctly, the projected buy signals and sell signals. So buy signals are green, sell signals are red. Where it's dark red is where they overlap. The projected buy signals basically top out right around G15, which is what I had expected. Let me draw on this. I hope you guys like data. So here's G15. Basically, everything to the left of this are the R values up to the G15 value. Okay. So everything to the left of this, all the greens were there. Now, this was my theory on this side here. I'll do that with the blue pen. My theory was once it crests over a certain value, that there wasn't all that much room left to run, right? That was my whole thought process behind if it goes up to G15, let it run. If I'm getting in at G15 or later, let it go, but also keep a really tight rein on that because the bulk of the move is most likely done already. I found this to be extremely interesting that yes, the buy signals fell off precipitously after the G15 point. And then the sell signals are the red here. They pick up tremendously. They pick up tremendously after the G15 point. So the crossover here, just eyeballing it, is G11, where there's more sell signals than buy signals. So that kind of all fits within my data that I'm seeing here of G13 being the optimal run up to point. So I found that really, really good. I guess my biggest takeaway here was anytime we get a buy signal where, oh, that's really funny. Okay, so as I mentioned on the live stream this morning, we had multicultural night at the school yesterday, and I got henna tattoos on my hand. I also just realized it's all over my other hand too. Yeah. When it's under G13, let that bad boy run. If we don't have a reason to exit from a risk perspective, let it run up to G13. Once it reaches G13, there's somewhat of a turnover point where we say there's not all that much room left to run after G13. So we can cut off at G13. And if a new buy signal comes at G13 or greater, I'm still trying to narrow down what that spread is. Now, I do have a preliminary result here, which is once it reaches G13, the average move after that point is 4. So the average move when the buy signal comes at G13 or greater, the average move to the sell signal is only 4 points. So that is where I'm going next, is optimizing this to say, okay, where can we get the greatest expectancy result score? Now, remember, the expectancy result score is the expectancy value plus average return. And I had peaked at G13. Hey, Brian, no trades today. So I'm in the middle of that right now. Still like banking on formulas. What I have found is which goes right back to this, the frequency, meaning how many times that happens, gets smaller and smaller and smaller, right? As you can see here, the frequency is getting smaller and smaller. So I'm really trying not to let like single data points, ends of ones and twos, make that big of a difference, because I have lots of those where they only have one or two buy signals that are 13 or greater. And if they win, then it shows 100% win rate. And that's not realistic. So still working on that. But overall, my first takeaway is G13 is that optimal level. Interestingly, within 2 points of my anecdotal observations. So I should have probably in a couple hours or so a result for what the spread is after G15 or G13, I should say. I just don't have that yet. So that's going to wrap it for the trading room today. Go. If you didn't watch the replay this morning or the webinar this morning, go watch that. Basically, it's just a quick summary of how to use Outlier. This is the last weekend that the $79 deal is going on forever. It will never be offered again. So if you have not gotten it, be sure to. If your friends have not gotten it, tell them this is legit the last chance. Otherwise, it's going to be $69 a month. So, oh, thanks, Jorn. Yeah, I can really nerd out on some data. Like, I dig data. I can do this for hours and hours, and like time will fly by to me. And I'll look up and it's dark outside. I'm like, oh, whoopsie-daisy. Just use the entire day on that. So I'm really curious. My initial guesstimates are between 4 or 5 points. Like I say, that's what the average delta is when it's 13 and then getting a sell signal on average is 4 points. So if nothing else, we could say 13 plus 4 points. Hey, Nathan, about to wrap it up here. No trades today. So I'm looking forward to getting that. Anyway, that's going to cover it for today. Don't have a lot to talk about. Don't have any trades on. I'm not fighting this market. Let the market, before you get too excited, let the market stabilize, right? Because we could see a whole lot of, I was looking at this earlier today. When we see volatility here, this is the one I want to look at right here. When we see volatility pick up and we see these big moves down and then big moves up, we really don't have a direction, right? We really don't see a direction. Like this went sideways from March 31st to May 24th. That's 37 trading days, nearly two entire months where it went sideways. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen again, but I am saying don't jump right into the market when volatility has been introduced. Need to make sure we protect our capital, most of all. Happy Friday, and see you on Monday. That's right. All right, I'll see you guys and ladies and outliers and everybody else on Monday, and I should have some data. I'll probably send it over in the Discord because I'll be too excited not to share. Talk to y'all soon.